in your Bible, Luke chapter 22. Appreciate the Doyle family, their whole family. I really appreciate them. And one thing Brother Tom always told me, I probably won't repeat it right, so if I say it wrong, he knows the right way. But there's four things in a sermon. You either want people to stop doing something they shouldn't be doing, or start doing something they're not doing, or stop believing something they shouldn't believe, or start believing something they should believe. And tonight I want to look at a real strong example, Judas, in the Bible. And I don't want to say any of us could be Judas because the devil entered into him, but all of us could act the way he acted in just these few verses. And so if you're doing any of these things, stop. And if you believe any of these ways, stop. And the vice versa is also true. But he would do a much better job. But in these first six verses of Luke 22, the Bible talks about Judas and the little, I didn't put the title in the bulletin, but I called it Enter Satan. And that's verse 3. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And if you look up Judas's name, Judas Iscariot, in the Bible, almost every time it has that little asterisk or that little phrase after his name that says he was the one that betrayed Christ. He was the betrayer. He was the one that, you know, did what he did. He turned Christ in for money. He found an occasion to get the chief priests and the captains what they wanted. They wanted Jesus dead, and he found a way to do it. And Judas was the betrayer. So not saying anybody is a Judas, but all of us can act in the points I'll make tonight, all of us could act this way. All of us could be that guy if we're not careful. And hopefully none of us to this extent, but all of us could get the idea that Judas got in his mind to allow Satan to enter into his life. I am not an actor, but sometimes I'm the behind-the-scenes guy. And a few times I've been called on to run the PA in a play or be the guy that's reading the script. And sometimes you read through a story and you read a line like, "Then entered Satan into Judas." And it made me think of a line in a script that says this is when a person enters into the story. And all throughout the Bible, Satan is waiting in the wings or off to the side on the stage of your life, on the stage of many people's lives in the Bible, and he is waiting for his cue. He's waiting for his stage direction, however you want to say it. He's waiting for that entrance, the fanfare to play, or the music changes and gets dark and ominous, and Satan is waiting. He's always ready on his cue. He's ready to enter. And even when you got saved tonight, if you came to that point in your life when you realized you were a sinner and you realized you needed Jesus, Satan was still waiting there on the side to distract you, to keep you dead. Preachers almost, when he gives an invitation, he'll say, today is the best time you can get saved because we know the devil is trying to distract you and the devil's trying to talk you out of it. And the longer you listen to the devil, the easier it is to turn your back on Christ and not accept him. But in every situation in life, Satan would love to get our salvation. If he can't get that, he's still waiting in the wings. He's still, in the green room, or however you want to say it. He's still waiting, ready to come on stage. He's ready to take possession in your life, maybe not in your soul, but he's ready to oppress you. He's ready to influence you however he can. So I want to look at Judas tonight and say, what are the signs we show that says to Satan in his little script or in his stage, in his cue cards, what are we showing Satan that it's ready for him to come into our lives? And the first one I want to point out, I'm going to go through this outline three times, just so you know, but there's six things I want to point out, and it says he was of the number of the 12. Judas was part of a group. And even though every time the Bible talks about him, we know he's the betrayer, we know how he's going to end up, Judas was still part of a special group. He was part of that group that surrounded Christ. He got to see Jesus perform miracles. He got to see Christ do things that nobody else had done and only people had prophesied about. He got to see one-of-a-kind, unique things, and he was a number of the 12. When people said, we sing the song, Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, his brother John. When people talked about the apostles, when they talked about the 12, Judas was one of those people, and he was part of that group. And then he went his own way. And all of us get to this point where I'm part of a group, I know what I'm supposed to be doing, but I want to do my own thing. I want to go my own way. The 11 guys had an idea of where they were supposed to be, what they were supposed to be doing, and Judas went his own way. The Bible says in Judges, in those days there was no king, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And all of us, at some point in our life, get to where we know what we're supposed to do, we know what's right, but we have our own way. We have our own way of thinking, and we have the way we want to go. The prodigal son said, "Give me what's mine, Father." He said, "Father, give me mine, me, mine, my own stuff." And all of us, in some part of life, even though we might be part of an exclusive group, even though we might be part of a one-of-a-kind group of people, we might still want to go our own way. And that's what Judas found himself. He said the first thing he allowed the devil to see was he wanted to go his own way. Jesus talking to Simon Peter after he came back, after he rose from the dead. He was trying to make a point to Peter. Peter was, this is John 21, you don't have to turn there, but many have heard the story. They went fishing. Jesus allowed them to catch a great amount of fish, and he said, bring it in, we're going to eat. And they were sitting there eating, and Jesus said, "You lovest thou more than these?" And Peter said three times, "Yes, I do, yes, I do." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep, feed my sheep." And then he said, "Follow me." And they got through this whole story, and I don't know, maybe Jesus felt like he had made his point, but then Peter and Jesus are still talking, and Peter says, he points over at John, and this is John 21, and he says, "Seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved," and said, Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" And Jesus saying, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." And all of us have our own way, our own, like we talked about in Sunday school, all of us have the way we believe, and everybody else should just get in line and agree with it. But even Peter said he was more worried about what was going to happen to John. And the point I'm trying to make is we all have what we're supposed to be doing, and we all have our own way, what we want to do. Instead of being concerned with what we should know and what we should be prepared for, we're worried about John or one of the other apostles, and we're saying, I'm more worried about what's going to happen to him. And Jesus again and again said, if I choose to let John live, or if I choose to let you, Peter, live, what is that to thee? That's God's will. And all of us know God's will, but sometimes we want to go our own way. And just point I want to make is don't worry so much about the other people in life, the leaders that you're not following, or you know, televangelists or people that give Christ a bad name. Let's not focus on those so much as focusing on the job that God has for us to do, because we'll find our own way. We'll find our own way to criticize or get distracted. It doesn't matter what distraction it is. It just opens a door to the devil to keep us from doing what we should do, our own way. So Judas went on his own. The second one, he communed with the chief priests and the captains. And these were not unsaved people that needed Christ. These were people that knew what Christ stood for, and they were against Christ. So these were not the people that needed Jesus and would receive him. Judas wasn't witnessing to the chief priests and captains. He wasn't trying to get them saved. He was hanging out with the enemies of God. They were trying to figure out a way to kill Christ. The Bible talks about it in 2 John. It says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Now Judas knew that he wasn't going to, these people weren't following after Christ. The reason he was seeking after them was he knew the type of people they were. And the point I want to make here is all of us have friends, or all of us have people we know that we've either talked to them about the gospel, we've tried to win them, and they not only have rejected it, they've started to criticize our beliefs. They've started to criticize the church we go to, or the standard we keep, or the book we read, or any aspect of our faith. They've turned into almost an enemy of Christ. And Judas decided to spend his communion time or his fellowshipping time with that kind of person, the enemies of God. It even says in verse 2, they feared the people. They were trying to figure out a way to kill Christ, but they wanted to make sure that they didn't get in trouble with what was popular with the people. So, politically correct, or what was right in this culture, or, you know, how can I make the most people happy and still get done what I want to get done? That type of person, where the only thing they were concerned with was accomplishing an unholy goal and hurting Jesus Christ. And those type of people still exist today. I mean, there's nothing's changed since 2,000 years ago. That type of person is still around. And I'm not telling you that you can't ever talk to them or can't ever try to win them to Christ, but if you realize they're against God and they want to hurt you and they want to make you doubt and they want to make you get away from God's will, don't commune with them. Don't spend your free time with them. That's what Judas did. And he said to the devil, here's your cue. You know, this is where you can step in. I'm ready for you to step in and work in my life. And none of us should ever give that opportunity to Satan. The Bible says don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And of course, we should spend our time trying to win people that aren't saved, trying to get them saved. That doesn't mean never talk to somebody that hasn't received Christ. It means don't make a partnership with somebody that doesn't believe in what you believe in. Now, the best thing that can happen is you both end up on the same page and you're both trusting Christ, but don't put your trust or your faith in someone that doesn't trust and have their faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what Judas did. He sold his soul. He put himself over to what was politically correct, to what was pleasing the people, because he wanted to make these guys happy. And he was going to find out it wasn't going to work in his favor. They weren't going to stand with him. Compromisers, people that want to please other people instead of wanting to please God. There's nothing wrong. It shouldn't be your goal to make everybody mad at you. But it becomes wrong when you don't care what God thinks and you want to please people. And that's what the priests and the captains wanted to do. Many times in the Bible, you can just count the true believers, and it's a small amount of people. Usually the big crowds are when all the compromises come and there's no longer a belief in anything. And Judas gave up his beliefs so he could be part of a bigger crowd. I put this in last night. I was driving by. They had I was thinking, like, how could we get more people into church, and what should we do differently? And we always tease about the bouncing ball and all the crazy things that churches do. But I drove by a place last night, the parking lot was full, and there were cars on the grass, and there were people on the side of the road, and like, well, whatever they're doing, they're getting a crowd. And I looked and they were having a cage fight, so I thought, all right, who could we have in a cage? I'm not going to be in there, but we can find somebody that would be willing to be in a cage fight. So there are things you could do to get a crowd, but and Judas was more concerned with that than he was, obviously, in following Christ. He was trying to kill him. And the Bible talks about the broad way and the narrow way. And if you find yourself with a great group of people and you don't happen to know what any of them believe, there's a chance you might be with people that don't believe in Christ and that don't want to follow him. And if you're not careful, if you're just going with the flow or following the crowd, you might end up somewhere other than where God wants you to be. That's my point. Number three, how he might betray him. He started looking for an off-ramp. He started looking for an exit. Here's a guy that for 3 years followed Christ, and we know he didn't like it when that lady spent all her money to wash Christ's hair, and he has a couple times where he stands out, and the Bible says he was the betrayer and he was a thief, but he was still around Jesus for 3 years, and he started to look for a way to betray him. You'll ultimately choose to run toward something that expresses how you really feel. Judas's heart had already turned. He wanted to betray Christ. Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And that word, I think, means still what we mean today, like offended. You chip on your shoulder, you get easily offended. But that anything that diverts your path, that an off-ramp, anything that takes you away from where you're headed. Judas was looking for an exit. Instead of looking down the road and seeing how far can I go with Christ, he was looking for a way out. He stopped looking for opportunities and he started looking for excuses. And the more he did that, every step he took, he said, Satan, I'm ready for you to use me. I'm ready for you to step in and take control. And I know I'm talking about Judas. The Bible said he was the son of perdition, and he went to his own place, and he did come to a point where he realized what he did. The Bible says he threw the money back at the guys, at the priests and the elders. This is Matthew 27. I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And Judas went out, hung himself, and the Bible says that he fell and hurt himself. This is in Acts 1, and it says his bowels gushed out. Judas realized what he had done, and he realized those guys that he was trying to hang out with, those guys he wanted to please, the ones that he was trying to find a way to betray Christ, they weren't there for him. They said, here's your money, we paid you to do what you need to do, would you please go now? They were done with him. You can choose your own way. You can go your own way like Judas did. You can look for all the excuses and you kind of look for, I don't know if you ever watch like soccer or football, and there's always one player that's always waiting for the injury. Like if he stubs his toe, he falls over, and they have to call the medic out and carry him off the field. He was looking for a way to get out of the fight. He didn't want to be with Jesus anymore. He was looking for a way to betray him. And then the next verse, it says, they were glad. And that word glad, Judas was trying to make a group of people happy. Sometimes one of the easiest ways to see what our temperament is or the way we're thinking is what we find funny or what we enjoy. And what Judas was trying to make the enemies of Christ happy. And sometimes we make excuses for the people that we like around us, and sometimes we make excuses for the people we call friends. But if hurting the cause of Christ makes them happy, they should not be our friends. And Joshua, we've been talking about him on Wednesday night, I've been talking about him in junior church, but Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. He said, make a choice. It's not about making one group of people happy and laugh it up and enjoy themselves and then trying to come back into church and please God. It's about making a choice. Next verse, it says, they covenanted to give him money. And Judas allowed covetousness or wanting more than he had. He allowed that greed to become what he believed in instead of believing in Christ. In our own life, until we yield our covetousness and our greed to God, we're going to be useless to him. Judas not only was allowing the devil to work in his life, but he had something he was trying to serve instead of what he should be serving, and that covetousness of wanting 30 pieces of silver, the money that they agreed to give him. In 1 Timothy, Paul said, we brought nothing in this world, and certain we can carry nothing out. There's plenty of things that we would all like to have, but anything that comes between us and God makes us useless to him if we're focused on that instead of focused on him. And again, I'm using Judas as a black and white, clear archetype, just the picture of what not to do. And the last one, and he promised. And he promised these men. If Judas were to rewind in his life, go back 3 years to when Jesus Christ was calling the apostles, calling his disciples, Jesus said to the men he had called in Matthew 10, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Jesus used the word freely. He said, I want you to serve, but I'm giving you something out of freedom. I'm giving you something out of love, that you're free. The more you take, the more you can give. You're not going to lose anything by healing and casting out devils and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, sharing the love of God to give us a home in heaven, to forgive us of our sin. And Judas went from that freedom of being able to tell anybody the good news, to tell anybody what was free, he went from that to complete slavery under the devil when Satan entered into him. And he gave it all up for something that he couldn't use. He ended up throwing it back and said, I betrayed innocent blood. He went back and cast the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And most of us already knew that story. Most of us, when you heard the name Judas, you probably didn't think, well, I know a lot of little kids that, you know, parents name their kids Judas. That you knew Judas was a bad guy before we started this, and maybe even before you read your Bible the first time, you'd heard of a man named Judas because he's always known throughout history as the betrayer. Peter used him as an example in Acts chapter 1, and he said he numbered with us. He was with us. He was a guy, he was in the fold, he was in the club. He got to freely give the gospel, he got to freely preach Christ, and he left, and he is in his own place now, is what Peter said. He fell in the field of blood, and to this day, he's known as a betrayer and someone that betrayed innocent blood. So tonight, before we run back through it, remember the calling that you had. Everybody has something that God asks them to do. And sometimes we'll let somebody else's story or somebody else's experience drown out what God wants us to do. And what we're doing is opening ourselves up and saying, this is the devil's cue to step into our life. The Christian life isn't everything I thought it would be, so I think I'll figure out and see what the devil wants me to do. And nobody would actually say that out loud. Nobody would say, forget this Jesus stuff, I'm out of here, hopefully. But many of us, in some area or the other, we live it in our life. So in answer to those six things, if it's possible in your life, when Judas went to be alone, if it's possible, and it's not always, but if it's possible, be accountable to more than just yourself and more than just God. Not because you need anybody else in your life besides God, but if it's possible, Judas started out in a group of 12. And maybe you can't get in a group of 12, but you could have a group of 2 or 3. Have somebody else that you can answer to that keeps you on track, that knows their stuff, and can keep you straight. Don't go at it alone. Don't go your own way. God might put you through a trial where it's just you and him, and if you can bear that and Jesus has ordained it, then that's great. But don't live your whole life on your own. Don't go your own way unless you absolutely have to stand alone and stand for God. But don't put yourself out there so the devil can step into your life. In Philippians, it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And we talked about it, I think, last week in Sunday school about criticism, but if somebody is kind enough to come to you and try to help you, and they're not talking about you to somebody else, don't react to that. Say, you know, even if I don't agree with them, God still can use them to teach me something. Find the communion with people that love God. Number two, Judas went off and tried to find the people that were enemies of God. And if you're going to be the opposite of that, find fellowship with people that love Jesus Christ. You're going to always find somebody that's bitter or somebody that has had a bad situation, but I like to find the people that could be that way and choose to serve Christ and choose to find the joy that Jesus offers. I think, you know, tonight Brother Wayne mentioned he could have plenty of stuff to complain about, but he chooses to serve and to have joy and to praise God. Brother Harry always says something nice to me, and sometimes he's so gracious, it's hard for me to, you know, accept because he's so positive, but I'm sure he has things he could complain about if he chose to, but he chooses to find joy in serving Christ. And instead of hanging around those elders and captains or whatever the Bible could call them when Judas was around, instead of hanging around those people, we should find the people that praise God anyway, that have had trials but have also had blessings, and they choose to focus on the blessings in life. And then look for on-ramps instead of off-ramps. Stop looking for the reasons to fall and, you know, the reasons to stub your toe and get carried off the field. Stop looking for the excuses and start looking for the express lane. Instead of looking to get off the road, look for the quickest way to get back into the will of God. And then find your happiness and your joy. Judas wanted to please the world. Instead of trying to please the world, find your joy in the things that God has allowed you to see and the things that God has allowed you to do. Hopefully tonight we can, you know, hang out with Brother Tom and enjoy seeing them off to a good ministry, but enjoy Christian fellowship together and enjoy that joy that's all right for us to enjoy together as Christians instead of what the world finds funny, instead of what the world wants us to do. The Bible says in Matthew 6, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Judas reversed that and ended up with absolutely nothing. He ended up with the punishment for what he had done, and he did not seek the things of God. And the last one, in answer to the last point, make wise promises to God. Judas promised the enemies of God that he would betray Christ and that he would take the money and betray the man that he had been with for 3 years and the man that he had, to some extent, served God with. And Judas reneged on that promise and instead made a new promise to an enemy of God. But for us today, promises aren't wrong. Vows aren't wrong. We still take vows. We still make promises. We have what we call, these steps here, we call an altar. We make decisions for Christ. Make some decisions, some positive decisions to follow after God all throughout the Bible. Not all the, you know, we always talk about Jephthah, and he did make an unwise promise or an unwise vow to God. But I think about Hannah in the Old Testament. She wanted a son, and she said, "If you give me a son, I'll give him back to you." Ruth, a lot of times at weddings, we'll talk about Ruth promised her mother-in-law, Naomi. She said, "I'm going to stay with you no matter where you go, no matter where you live, I'm going to stay with you." And all throughout the Bible, Jacob made vows. And men of God made vows, even not in the Bible, but men of God said, "God, you gave me a calling. I make today. I promise, I'll do what you want me to do." And not just to God, but to each other. The way you build a reputation is by saying you'll do something and then coming through and doing it. And the same thing is true for us today. If we want to build our faith in God, if we want to build our faith in one another and encourage one another, make some holy, righteous promises and then fulfill them. Don't promise the enemies of God. Promise those that love God. Promise God that you will do what he wants you to do. And Satan is always waiting in our life. I'll say this and I'll be done. Satan is still waiting in our life. We might be saved on our way to heaven, child of God, and he might not ever get the influence or the control that he wants in our life, but he's still willing to be an extra. He's still willing to have a walk-on role in your life and be a bit player and walk on and upset the cart. He's always waiting in the wings of your life, and he's waiting on a cue. And he's not, you know, he'll take any cue he can get. He's looking for any little crack in the scenery or any little trap door in the floor where he can pop up and make a mess out of your life. He doesn't need an invitation. He's just looking for any opening that you'll give him. The Bible says he's a roaring lion in 1 Peter. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. And Judas did everything wrong. He left himself wide open. But we can learn from him. We can learn and say, "I'm not going to go on my own. If I can, by the grace of God, I'll find somebody I can learn from. I'll find somebody I can go with that'll keep me accountable. I'm not going to go go it alone. I'm going to have a group of godly men and women with me, and we can learn from what Judas did wrong and say, I'm not going to give the devil any part of my life. I'm not going to let him enter into me, and I'm not going to let him influence me in any way. If with God's help, I will not allow that to happen. And that's my challenge to tonight. It's so easy to just, even for a second, stop and say, you know what, I do have a lot I could complain about. I have a lot that God could have treated me better. Or I do have a lot of good ideas, and I could go my own way, and I could show those people the way it should be done. But that should not be what we do. We should realize the tendency is there. We should realize the crack is there, and we need to seal it up. We need to reinforce it, just like the people that went through a hurricane. We need to find every little opening and board it up and prepare and realize that Satan is waiting, and he wants to get in our life and influence us and get us off course. So we're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to have an invitation. Again, I just pray that something that we read tonight would help us. Hey, I don't want to have anything to do with that Judas guy. I don't want to look anything like him. So if there's something in my life I'm doing that way, Lord, help me stop tonight. Help me make some holy promises to people that I can keep my word and grow my faith and grow my trust. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you tonight that in each of our lives, sometime, hopefully, Lord, before this point, hopefully we've accepted Jesus as our Savior. We know that we can't be controlled by the devil, but we can still be influenced all around us. We can still try to go with the crowd and try to please everybody else besides you and not worry about what God thinks, not worry about what Jesus Christ wants to do in our life. But help us realize we don't have to give the devil any part of our life. We can be free of him, and even though he'll be waiting to step in at any time, he'll wait a good long time, and he won't get in our life. Help us, Lord, to learn from this tonight. Again, Lord, if there's somebody here that hasn't come to that point, the devil would love nothing more to use whatever's coming next to getting out of here or whatever in somebody's life to say, don't get saved tonight. You can put it off. But I pray, Lord, if there's somebody here that hasn't trusted Christ, they haven't realized they're a sinner, they don't know for sure they're going to heaven, that they wouldn't leave in doubt for any reason, Lord, I pray they come tonight. We can show them from the Bible how they can get saved. And for Christians here, help us just put aside the distractions, look for a way forward, look for a way to serve you more, and look for the devil, make sure he's not in our life. I pray that be the case tonight. Bless this invitation. I just pray that you bless in all that goes on. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.